Hello everybody, welcome to another instalment of the RMI Fusion Cast. I'm your host, William, and...
Hi, my name's Mark.
And today we'll be talking about the remake, the 2010 Splatterhouse game that was released on the Xbox 360 and the PS3, because on the previous podcast, Tony and Andrew did the three original retro classics.
Yeah, that's right, that was a good show, I thought.
I didn't get around to listen to it yet.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's worth checking out.
So, what have we been up to today, Malco? We'll start with you first.
Well, this week, I've been away for a while. I've been to see my family and that, so I haven't been playing a great amount of games, but I was playing Crossis 2 last night and, you know, been playing a few games on MAME and stuff, and been playing the Splatterhouse game, actually. I was playing that last night and playing that this morning as well.
Cool.
But mainly, I haven't actually played that many games myself. What about you, mate?
I have been playing some. I've been playing this Super Mario World ROM pack called Super Mario World: The Lost Adventure Episode 2. Because I previously played the Episode 1, but I gave Episode 2 a go. I didn't like Episode 2 as much as the first one. It's just a ROM pack I've been playing lately.
Yeah, I've seen some of your videos of them. They're quite cool. It's good how they do them,
I think. Yeah, but the one thing I do like about it is like. But Episode 2, what made me so unique about it is the way that he makes unique boss fights out of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to check the video out if you upload one.
Yeah, I might do it actually, but this one's a bit harder than the original.
They're usually quite hard anyway when with the hacks I've played in the past.
Yeah, I think this one is pretty much up there with the lost levels.
Bloody hell. Yeah, that is a hard game.
Yes.
I only ever played that on Super Mario All-Stars.
Probably everybody did, because everybody knew at the time that was the real Super Mario Brothers 2.
No, that's right. We got the same one as the Americans, didn't we?
Yeah, but it was known as Doki Doki Panic in Japan.
Still, it's quite a good game anyway.
Yeah, but I'm glad they actually started to release that, because if you think about it, if you look at boss levels, it just plays exactly the same as the first one, but just with a harder difficulty. But, you see, you've got to remember, see, this was in the 80s when Atari was actually, you know, when the video game crash happened, and Nintendo feared that they don't want to make the same mistake Atari did, like, re-release the same game on a different console.
Oh, yeah, I can understand that. And so, then people that wouldn't buy it, would they? They'd think, oh, this looks exactly the same. What's the point in buying this crap, right?
With a jacked-up difficulty.
Exactly, yeah.
So anyway, enough about the Mario Brothers. We're here basically to talk about the 2010 Splatterhouse game. So do you want to talk about it, Malk?
Yeah, basically, the 2010 Splatterhouse game is a remake of the 1988 classic arcade Game Boy Namco. Now, it was developed in North America, and it had a problem with development. Originally, it was developed by a company called Bottle Rocket. Can't say I've ever heard of them. I know they've done some... Have you heard of them?
No, this is the first time I've heard of them. Because I knew it was in development for quite a very long time, because they kept delaying it for a while, didn't they?
That's right, yeah, that's right. And there's videos still on YouTube that show a completely different sort of look to it and everything to what the final game turned out like. Mm. And I believe someone on eBay was selling an illegal, like, unfinished version of it with a chipped Xbox or something, and he got in trouble for it. And, you know, that he didn't have the rights to sell because it was a game that totally weren't finished or anything. Mm. Anyway, the game is basically the same as the original Splatterhouse. It's about a guy called Rick Taylor. Him and his girlfriend Jennifer Willis go to West Mansion to visit Dr. West, Dr. Henry West in this one, to interview him, basically. And his girlfriend gets kidnapped, and he gets, really badly hurt, and he's bleeding on the floor. And he discovers a terror mask, which says, oh, she doesn't have to die, Rick, I can help you and all this. And basically the mask transforms him into, a massive, Hulk-like creature sort of thing, pretty much like the Hulk, actually.
Yeah, like the incredible Hulk, this skinny bloke comes to a big, massive, roid rage fighting machine.
Yeah, and you have to basically go around the house, destroying all the monsters and trying to rescue his girl, get his girlfriend back.
Yeah.
Now, it's got a lot of influences by H.P. Lovecraft, because in the original arcade game, it was actually called Herbert West, weren't he?
Yeah.
Which is obviously from H.P. Lovecraft's Reanimator.
Yeah, it was. Well, surprisingly, actually, in the original arcade game, it didn't really have much of an intro, did it? Because only in the original arcade one, it just showed them running into this house in the stormy rain, and you just hear this scream, and you just start playing as Rick.
Yeah, that's right. I think the story, I'm not 100% sure about it, because it was never officially released, only on the TurboGrafx and that in America. And
It was released on the TurboGrafx in America.
Yeah, it wasn't actually, never came out here in the UK, the first one, did it? Only on the arcade, because it weren't banned over here, whereas in America the arcade version was, or so I believe, in certain places anyway.
Yeah.
But I played it when it first came out on the arcade. I was really impressed with the original one. Mainly because I used to like horror movies when I was a kid, and I'd never seen a game that basically was as violent and, as bloody and that as what that game was.
Well, see, I was born around about that time anyway, so only I knew about the original was through meme, and that was about it, really.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, which is good in a way, because
unless
you've got a TurboGrafx or a PC Engine, as the Japanese one's called, there was no way originally, without MAME or emulation, to play the original arcade version, or, you'd have to play the TurboGrafx or PC Engine one, which is heavily censored,
and
missing the meat cleaver. I think it's missing some other weapons. I know it's missing the upside-down Satanic Cross.
Yeah, because they changed that, because the funny thing is, when they changed that level, they didn't remove the music.
No, so it sounds like a church.
Yeah.
And it's not actually got the altar or...
No, it's just kept the music in, and that's about it, because all you just do is standing there in this empty corridor.
Yeah, and there's these candles floating in midair, which looks stupid. And you hear the organ music, church music.
Yeah.
And then I think you hear Jennifer scream, or you do on the arcade one. I'm not sure about the TurboGrafx one that much. I mean, I have played it. It's quite a good version, but it doesn't hold up as well as the arcade, obviously. No. The Japanese one on, I think it's the FM Towers or something, or is it the Marty or something?
Yeah, FM Towers, yeah.
I emulated that, and that version is really good. It's pretty much arcade perfect, except on some of the levels, the boss levels, it scrolls, whereas on the arcade it's just on a single screen.
Oh.
But otherwise, it's pretty much perfect to the arcade.
Yeah, because the only reason why I actually wanted to get the 2010 remake, because I did play the original, the third one and the second one, and I was really excited for this one, but every time it keeps getting delayed, I think it's not going to come out. But when it actually did, I finally got it on the Xbox 360, because I didn't get the PS3 version. I got the 360 version instead.
Yeah, well, actually, this is going to make me sound proper sad and everything, but I've actually got it on both the 360 and the PS3. The reason I got it, because I got it the day it came out on the 360. I think I paid like, I think it's 40 quid or something. I'm not sure. In fact, I've got the receipt in the box. This is how sad I am. I've still got the receipt. That was on the 26th of the 11th, 2010. And I got it from GameStation. And it, yeah, £39.99. And I had to ask for it because they didn't have it on the shelves or anything that morning because the remake got such bad reviews. You know, it got absolutely slated.
It did. It got proper slated. But I think half of those reviews are a bit untrue because they said basically there's no like combos in it and movesets. But there is. If you level up your character and you can unlock him and it does various other combos.
That's right, because with the new one, basically... It's similar to the original, but it's 3D, sort of like third person, and you go, every time you kill so many monsters, well, every time you kill any of the monsters, you collect the blood from them, don't you?
Yeah.
And you can, like, basically get points for the blood and buy extra moves and different abilities and things like that.
Yeah.
And with the reviews, I think it was mainly a certain company, I'm not going to name them, that is known for, like, blatantly lying with reviews. They said it had hardly any moves whatsoever. Well,
bullshit, and more moves on there than you can count.
If the person... Well, the only thing I think of is...
I think he just went, like, a bit of it, like, did, like, a bit of it, and didn't bother with it afterward.
Played it for 10 minutes and said, this game's crap, I'm not going to bother. So it basically failed when it came out, and plus... There's even like an advert for it that was out way before the game was released.
Yeah.
I think I've seen the advert in about 2009. May have been slightly before that. And it's a really good advert.
You have one new message.
I'm still in the house. I found the phone. But they're looking for me. I hear them. I think they're going to kill me. They're everywhere. Help
me, Rick. I'll save you, Jennifer.
And Namco didn't show that on the TV or anything, didn't advertise the game whatsoever. They just brought it out. In fact, it missed the original release date, which were Halloween 2010. To come out slightly after, which it would have been better if it came out at Halloween, I think.
Oh yeah, it would have been. It would have been cool. And also, basically, there's one move that Rick can go into like a big giant hyper mode, like he did in Splathouse 3. That was pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, that's good because you have to power up get so much of the blood.
Yeah.
Because with the new Splathouse, you can actually use the mask to heal yourself. Because in the new one, you take, like, physical damage, don't you?
Yeah, you can see, like, holes inside of you. And also, your arm can come off as well. But the good thing, you can pick up that decapitated arm, actually bash your enemies with it. So slowly, you will heal up. But if you don't heal up in time, you just die anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Which I thought was really good, how you could actually, you know, see the damage that you take and stuff. And pick up, like, your own arm and whack them with it. Or you can grab, like... Some of the, like, the, I think they're called the Corrupted, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're sort of, like, zombie monster type things. And there's loads of different sorts of them. Oh, you can, like, grab them.
There's all sorts on the game. There's pretty all sorts.
Literally rip their arm off and whack them with their arm.
Yeah. But you can also do, like, finishes move. There's one move where basically Richter grabs hold of him, puts his fist up his arse, and rips his entire butthole out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I thought that was his spine, but it's actually his, Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's with the really big monsters, because some of them, like, literally take up the entire, like, fucking screen. Like, they're massive.
Yeah. But that was one thing I did like about it, like, having, like, their own, like, fatality finishes on them. You know, give, like, mega damage to them. Like, rip their heads off and punch them one and all like that.
Yeah, and splatter their heads, and he rip them in half. He does quite a lot of them, you know. I suppose there was moaning about that in the reviews, saying... You know, it gets repetitive, keep seeing it, but I think it's quite good how it's sort of like, what's it called, a quick time sort of event. You know, you've got to do it a certain amount of things for it to actually carry on. And it was harder for me, because that's when I first got the 360, and I'm more used to a PlayStation, because I've always had PlayStations. I mean, I've had Xboxes before then.
Yeah.
But so it'd come up like X, and me, because I'm used to a PlayStation, I'd press what I thought would be X, which is A.
Yeah.
So I'd mess up the move every bloody time, which made the game a lot harder to play than what it originally should be.
Mm. And what else was pretty unique? It was also unique when the mask starts talking, that you quotes and all like that.
Yeah, and tells you stuff and that. And
yeah.
He's actually voiced by a guy called Jim Cummings, who does the voice for Winnie the Pooh, believe it or not.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he does.
And it swears at you and all sorts, doesn't it?
Yeah, he does. And the voice actor who does Rick is called Joseph Keaton. He also did the voice of Larry in Lisa Suit Larry Box Office Bust, which was a crappy game.
And I've never played that one.
Don't play it, shit. Don't even play. If you're a Leisure Suit Larry fan, just try and avoid that game as best you can. Don't get curious, just avoid it.
Well, the thing that sort of put me off is how it instantly dropped in price, and Asda was selling it for like $9.99 a couple of weeks after it came out.
Did it?
Yeah, they were selling it well cheap in there. Probably because, like you say, it's shit. Which is a shame because, well, I think I've only ever played like one or two Leisure Suit Larry games, but I'm not going to talk about that too much because I'll be going off the subject like I always do.
Yeah. Well, also he also voiced Revolver Ocelot in Metal Gear Solid 3 as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has done some various sort of voice acting as well. So just look his name, but you can find all various ones he's done as well.
Oh, that's pretty good.
One thing I didn't really like about it is sometimes, like, the music will get louder for some odd reason, and the voice acting starts going a bit low as well. That's one thing I really didn't like about it. It was a bit of a misbalance in the sound a bit there at some point.
Yeah, and originally I couldn't stand, because it's got like loads of licensed music from proper, you know, heavy metal bands like, I'm trying to find them now, actually. The Haunted. To be totally honest, I've never heard of any of them.
No,
but I'm not into heavy metal or anything like that.
Mm.
But originally, I didn't like the music. You know, I thought it didn't go with the game at all because it's got, like, you know, your sort of horror type music.
Oh, yeah.
Like the other Splatterhouse games. And then it comes into this, like, rubbish, like.
Mm.
But it is actually grown on me. And some of. I'm actually that sad. I've got some of the soundtrack on my Android phone.
Life or another, but I'm not going away.
I do actually like it now.
Android for the win.
But that was originally the one thing I didn't like about it, you know, the soundtrack. But I do think it fits quite well.
And also, at some parts of the game, it goes like into a 2D type thing, like it did, like Homepage did the original game as well. Like,
yeah,
like a 2D
right,
platforming.
That's right, it sort of locks the camera angle, so it's a 2D perspective, and it's like the original Splatterhouse games, well, apart from the third one.
third one. But also, speaking about like the originals, you can actually play those on the 2010 remake as well. They're unlockables.
I can't remember what, because it's got 11 phases to the entire game. I think it's only after like phase 4 or something it starts unlocking. Because it unlocks, obviously, the first one, then the second one, then the third one.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly, you know, what level it does unlock them on, but it's quite easy to unlock them.
Oh, yeah.
The only fault with that, really, is the emulation on the first Splatterhouse isn't 100% right. You get, like, you know, your masks at the top of your lives?
Yeah.
They flicker on and off. Some of the sound effects are missing. Like, when the knives spin around and went up, sort of noise when they fly at you, that's missing. I don't know why, because it was always emulated pretty well with MAME as well. So
because sometimes when developers like emulate certain games, they don't really emulate them very properly, do they?
No, I mean it's not
their fault.
You know, it's not a deal breaker. I mean, they're all perfectly playable and really good.
And I think that's a really good idea. You know, having the original classic games on a remake. Because then if it turns out, like, the remake is absolute crap, then at least you've got the original games, and other games like Double Dragon 2, Wonder the Dragon, that doesn't have the original on, and I think that would have vastly improved it by including that. So that's sort of like a safe thing to do, Will, you know, including the original games with it, and then if the remake does turn out to be bad, at least you've got them to fall back.
Yeah, but they also changed something in Splatterhouse 3. They changed the intro a little bit as well, because when the original Mega Drive one came out, they used actors for the intro.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah, they're Japanese actors, but I think on the remake they had to like change them or change to something different. I can't remember now, but I know they changed them.
To be totally honest, that's the only game out of the three that I unlocked that I haven't played, because I'm a big fan of the Splatterhouse games, but I've never really liked the third one as much.
You know, the third one really differed from the original, didn't it? Because it was more like you have to find the shortest route possible to get to your target, because you're on a time limit, aren't you?
Yeah, and it makes it more like a sort of final fight, Streaks of Rage sort of, how you can walk up and down and stuff. Which you couldn't do on Splatterhouse, the first two.
No.
And while it does work and it's a decent game, you know, I do really like it. I just don't personally think it's as good as the other ones.
It was different, but the funny thing is that one never came out over here.
It didn't. I don't know why.
I don't know. Maybe just I don't know. I don't know myself personally. I just don't really know. Probably they just didn't bother or something.
I think it might have been because the second one didn't sell as well as they expected. Because back then it took ages for games to come out in the UK, and I think a lot of people were just buying it on import and then not bothering to buy it when it came out officially. No, that's just a guess, basically.
I don't know, because sometimes we have to wait, like, bloody year, like half a year, just to basically, like, get a game that's already translated to English.
Yeah, which is a bit lame and stupid.
I know, that's what I hated about the early days of, like, on the Nintendo, because, like, in the early days of Nintendo, they only could release, like, so many games a year. That was the problem.
Yeah, that was supposed to be to say that there'd be better quality, but... Mm-hmm. Obviously, THQ released a lot of games, didn't they? And obviously, that didn't work because most of their games were shite.
Well, yeah, true like that.
And LGM.
Oh God, LGN, the curse of and that curse of the rainbow.
I mean, they was most of their games was a complete mess.
Why did they give most of the movie cartoons licenses to that company? I guarantee, if you find most of the movie license game are done by LGN.
Yeah, Terminator 2 was, Back to the Future was, quite a lot of them, yeah, you're right. And they, basically, most of them had no real resemblance to the film, hardly at all.
Well, Back to the Future didn't.
No, not at all, no.
Oh, I thought that was like, since when Marty McFly wore a black jacket and a black helmet.
Stupid. It's really, really, really stupid.
Mm. But luckily LGN's dead now anyway.
Yeah, so's THQ.
Yeah, true that.
But to be in all fairness, they were a lot better, you know, when they done it for like later consoles, you know, your PlayStations and stuff onwards, like pretty much. It was only with the SNES and NES and that when they were terrible.
Yeah, they were. I don't know why they gave licenses to them. We'll never know.
No, that's one of them.
Things. So anyway, what else do we need to talk about the Splathouse game? I think we covered everything, haven't we? Like,
yeah. I mean, this might be. A smaller show because we've actually got two shows on this time, haven't we? Because we've had some recent news. Obviously, everyone knows about the Xbox One, and we're going to record a show with, is it five or six of us? I'm not 100% sure.
No, I'm not sure as well. Well, speaking about the Xbox One, I had a dream last night that I bought one.
How long did it last before it died?
I have no idea, but the one thing that feared me, I lost the receipt. That's probably like the worst nightmare you could ever have, like getting an Xbox One. Oh no! I know a lot of people. We're not basically bashing on the Xbox One. It's just what it is. It's like they're not marketed as a games console. They're marketed as like a media hub thing.
Yeah, and what's the point? Because so many things already do that anyway. And the Xbox even does that, don't it? The 360.
Yeah, but as soon as like that Xbox One got announced, the Nintendo and Sony stock basically risen.
Yeah, because people probably were waiting to, you know, because they didn't know what to expect from the new Xbox, and now they've sort of gave it away. Even though they haven't really showed any games on it as such, it's Well, I mean, I'll say you know what I want to say about it till when we record the thing, but to briefly go on and say, like, I can't say I'm impressed with it whatsoever.
Yeah, and also basically, like, I found out recently as well that basically the applause was actually faked.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
No, because it's like, look, I'm nothing against Microsoft, but it's just basically, if you wanted to make a hub, media hub, go and make a media hub or something. Just don't. Even the names.
Yeah, exactly. Don't put it on a console and force people to have all that rubbish when it's supposed to be to play games on.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, it's not there to.
Yeah. But it'll
play Sky or anything.
No. But it'll also pee off a few people as well, because if you want to see, like, for example, Call of Duty Ghost is coming out on the Xbox One, but guess what they said about it?
I don't know.
They actually said that if you want the DLC first, you have to get an Xbox One.
That's ridiculous, ain't it? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's something that won't affect me, because
I don't buy it.
I won't buy Call of Duty Ghost anyway. Mind you, I'll give them one thing. At least they have changed the graphics on it now, and they're using the Cryotech Engine 3 that Crysis 2 and 3 use, I believe, which obviously is impressive, but how well they'll use it is a different matter.
But, well, time will tell anyway, because probably they'll think, like, the Call of Duty game will probably sell the game, and, you know, only 12-year-olds will probably buy it.
That's right, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, well, we've got a bit of topic here, haven't we? So, a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, but we got Splatterhouse 2010 our way, haven't we? We talked a lot about it, didn't we? But if you really, to be honest, really, would you recommend this game to anybody, or?
Well, myself, I would, because I do actually like it, but I do think they could have done a better job marketing it for a start. I mean, they didn't market it at all. They just basically dumped it out and, you know, dropped the marketing and everything. Namco of America did, I believe.
Mm.
And then the other reason it failed was, as I say, bad reviews. And people just, like, they should have marketed it more like, you know, a horror movie and got the press and everything, which I know sounds bad, but make, you know, bank on how bloody it is, because it's got to be the bloodiest game on anything. And if they would have gone on about that, you know, sent it to some idiots like, I don't know, at the Sun or something, and got them to go on about how violent it is, there'd be an outrage about it, and there'd be, like, people who hadn't even played it saying, oh, we should ban this, and you shouldn't. And then it sold loads.
Yeah.
Same with horror movies.
Personally did, but I didn't really want to go through it for the second time, to be honest. It just felt, some parts felt a bit buggy, it was just, the sound was way off balance, and it just got a bit, I just didn't really feel like going through it again. But I did enjoy it. but I just didn't really feel like going through it because it just... I can't do it anyway because I had it on the 360 and my 360 just went up the spout.
Have you still got your 360?
No, I think I gave it to my sister's boyfriend so he could try and fix it, but he couldn't because one of the... get a hardware failure in it or something.
Oh, bloody hell. That's bad.
Yeah, well... It always has to... Have you seen me? Or they just basically, like fail when your warranty run out?
Well, I think they're designed that way, aren't they, the 360s?
Yeah, but what
saying that, though, my new one's all right. But I've had three of them, the original, you know, arcade-type ones, just go like that. Mm. You know, with the Rings of Death sort of thing.
Yeah, the Red Rings of Death. Will the Xbox One have the Rings of Death?
Well, apparently... Microsoft were supposed to be getting sued in California or something for selling a known like defective product, which they're not allowed to do.
It is in a way because it's like you don't just spend that much money and you expect it to break down the first minute you get it, do you?
No, that's right. I reckon literally. Well, they can. I do know people that's had them since they come out and had no problems with them at all. Like my little brother's one, he had that. He's had it years. I think he had it like nearly 4 years or three. Was it 3 or 4 years? And he didn't have no problem with it at all. You know, he used to play it every day pretty much as well. And then it got to the stage where it was like really, really loud.
Mine did at one point as well.
Yeah, and then he thought, oh, I think I'm pushing my luck with it. So he traded it in and got the slim one, like, well, I've got the black one. And, you know, it was all right. And as far as I know, Andy from the Retro Asylum, his Xbox 360, he's had that since they come out and that. And he's had no problems with his neither, so...
Mm.
I suppose you just get unlucky, don't you? No. I'm a lot with the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
The first one of them I had knackered up after so long.
Yeah, my fat one did as well. Because it was still working, but the disc reader just went. It just basically went. Like, you know, the laser on the Blu-ray.
Oh, right. I didn't have that problem with it. Mine got the yellow light and it just turned itself off. You know, it literally... Similar to what the 360 does, I suppose.
Well, mine went like that. But it was still working, but if I was going to send it off, like, to get it repaired, it would cost more, so I think, like, sorry, I saved some money up, might as well just buy a new one.
Yeah, I think that is the good thing that Microsoft were originally doing. I mean, I know they don't do it now, but they'd even pick it up. You know, they'd send you the thing to send it to them and get a courier to pick it up and then send it back to you with it being fixed and give you so long gold. I think, like, so many days or something, free gold account, which was really good. And that's what they originally were doing. And then it got to a stage, I think, where so many people's messed up that they decided that they couldn't do that or they just try and deny it, like, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like if you phone them up and say there's something wrong with it, the person on the phone is like, makes out that it's the first time they've heard that, you know, which I think's stupid because everyone knows they're not reliable. I think the only reliable console probably 100% is a Wii.
Yeah, it is because I stuck with my Wii when I first got it and it's 100% reliable. Never brought it down, never done anything wrong.
No.
So, yeah, so it probably will turn, everybody keeps turning around to me and say that Wii U's crap and all like that. Well, at least it basically... last longer than an Xbox and a PlayStation. Well, I would say, if I had to go in order, I would basically put the Wii at the top, PlayStation 3 at the second, and Xbox at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because, come on, seriously, they're probably the only two that last longer than out of the Xbox. But speaking about, like, Microsoft, one time I bought a points card from Amazon. And when I got it and I put the code in and all like that, for some reason it didn't work because this thing was brand new and it did not work. So I rang up Microsoft and, you know, they told me to send a photograph of the number code.
Yeah.
So I sent it that, but they turned around and said, oh, we couldn't read it because the picture was all blurry. So I got a new webcam, took a photo of that, sent it back to them, and they said, all right, and all this, and they just basically manually put on the points that I originally bought for.
Well, that's pretty good. I had a problem like that when I got a card from Game. Well, I thought it would be a card, but now they print it out, don't they?
Mm.
And because their printer was crap, you couldn't read the code 100%, and it just wouldn't register because one number was slightly out, or letter. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, our printer's not very good. And I was like, well... Surely, if you're printing something out like that, you should have a fucking decent printer.
Well, you should do, really, because you...
Exactly, and that's what annoyed me, how they blatantly didn't give a fuck. You know, they'd take your money, and they didn't care whether it worked or not.
No, because and then they'll just like pester you with Call of Duty.
Mm.
That's what game does anyway. Probably, yeah. We'll probably have a go into game like probably like today or something. They'll probably like turn around and say, oh, do you want to pre-order the Xbox One? I'll turn around and say, well, I'd rather get a Wii U. And they'll probably say, why? Well, at least it's more of a games console than that.
Yeah, I haven't been in there for ages. I know they're advertising the PS4 already.
Yeah. But don't worry, I stand near the PC so they can't come near you.
Yeah, that's what, when we went in, when we went to Southend, me, Andy Swaney and Tony, Andy and Swaney went looking at the PlayStation Vita, I think, and I walked over where Tony was near the PC games, because you don't get harassed then, because they don't give a shit about selling them.
No, they don't. So anyway, let's wrap up the show, shall we?
Yeah, this has only been a short one this fortnight, but we will have a second show that will be uploading pretty soon.
Yeah, so basically, also I want to mention about the Scott from the retroachievements.org is basically a website that you can download emulators that has built-in achievements. So if you do something in the game, an achievement will appear, and you can basically like see how many you can... Basically, look at this. There's also like a support list there, so you can see how many games that support it. He's also done one on the Super Nintendo, and now he did the Game Boy, and also he just recently did one on the Game Boy Advance as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. That is, I think it's a good idea.
So if you want to go there, just go to retroachievements.org, and you can just sign up for an account and just download the emulator. You have to download the custom emulators so to actually make the achievements work. And just look at the support games that they support. But don't worry, they will add more games and update their other games as the months go on, because they're just like, you know, they will update the some games with more achievements as time goes on, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It does look impressive, and he says it can. He thinks it can work with pretty much all the emulators.
Mm. I'm really looking forward to seeing one on the. I would love to see him doing an achievement on the Pokemon games. Let's see if he can do that. So anyway, I have been William.
Yeah, and I've been Mark. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Okay, goodbye. We'll be right back.
Well, I'll just hang up, mate, and I'll call you back.
Okay.